Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome back into hour number two of the Insiders. I'm James Hamm. Joining me, Jesse Tapia today. Kyle Madsen is out for the weekend. He'll be back on Tuesday. We just wrapped up Fantasy Friday with Firas Siddiqui, but I guess we have a phone call on the
line. We got Brandon on the line on the Elk Grove Kia talk line. 916-909-1320.
What do you got for us?
What's up, Brandon?
Hey, actually, you guys are perfect to talk to, and Jesse, you especially. What's your gut tell you about Tyreek Hill and the rest of his fantasy year? I'm in a weird predicament where I drafted wide receiver heavy, so I still have Nico Collins, Debo, and I got Worthy on the bench. But my running backs are kind of iffy. I got James Conner and Swift, and that's about it. Is there a running back out there that you would trade Hill for right now, or do you think that Hill's still going to put up good numbers?
I mean, if you could get, like, max value for Hill, like, off the top of my head, maybe not this guy because he's hurt right now, but, like, maybe a guy like Kenneth, like, someone's, like, some consistent scoring from a running back. Like, I don't know off the top of my head. Like, Kenneth Walker is always consistent or something like that. You get more, obviously, with him, but, like, someone that's consistent, like an RB1 type or RB2 even, and, like, a wide receiver too.
Yeah, I would also ask, like, number one, is it a PPR league?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, and number two, is it a keeper league?
It's not, no.
Okay, so if you're not worried about a keeper, then, I mean, that does kind of open you up to moving him. I think there are a lot of good backs, and when I, especially in PPR leagues, I like running backs that catch passes. So I like to go with guys like Swift, although he had a horrible week one, guys like Cook, guys like Kenneth Walker.
I like Alvin Kamara, so he had a solid week one.
Yeah, Kamara. Like, Kamara's sort of the original of all those guys. But if I'm trading Tyreek Hill, I'm trying to get more than just one of those backs.
Yeah, you need a couple guys coming back for that.
Yeah, you need value. You need a good wide receiver coming back, and you need a very, very good running back coming back, in my opinion. So that's where I would go if I were you.
Appreciate you, Brandon.
There we go. Jesse, we're gonna touch base here on the San Francisco 49ers game against the Vikings this weekend. Something we do every week. We dive deep into the Niners game and kind of figure out what we think is going to happen, keys to victory and all that stuff. The first thing first, though, it looks like from yesterday, our friend of the program, Nick Wagner from ESPN, the 49ers didn't have a single player that did not practice. Limited were guards Aaron Banks, who has a finger and calf issue, Yetur Gross-Matos, who has a knee issue, Hufanga, who has a knee issue, Juwan Jennings, who has an ankle issue, which we saw in the game, Christian McCaffrey with his calf slash Achilles, and linebacker D. Winters with an ankle problem. So all of these guys were limited in practice, but the fact that we were able to see McCaffrey out on the field is pretty tremendous. The rest of these guys, like, again, they're still kind of waiting for Gross-Matos and for Hufanga to get back. And I think those guys slide in and start playing, like, right away.
Yeah, McCaffrey, I'm still going to wait on and stuff like that because he practiced last week and still didn't play. So it's kind of, I guess, a day-by-day basis for him.
Yeah, I want to see what he looks like and what the next couple of days, like, if he's able to, like, if he's part of the walkthroughs and all that stuff. I think that he was really close to playing last week. And I think the Jordan Mason, like, blow-up could change the way that they go here and might go, hey, let's just give him another week. But I also think that he's already had quite a few weeks.
Well, yeah, he missed all of training camp.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's as much an... I'd like to know if it's a nagging, like, it won't go away and it's a pain management situation, or if there's legitimate concern about the calf, if there's legitimate concern that he's going to pop his Achilles, all of those things. Like, I kind of want to know what their medical staff is saying, and I don't think that we've got a lot of transparency there.
Yeah, we probably won't going forward either.
No, I don't think so.
They keep things pretty close to the vest.
I think they liked this drama building up to the game and whether he's going to play or not.
Like, what do you mean, like gamesmanship or just kind of messing with the media?
No, I think gamesmanship.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that they enjoyed the fact that that they were able to, you know, get away with their star running back being out and another guy just punching someone in the face for 28 carries and 147 yards. Like, I don't think anyone expected that from Mason. And when he was announced as a starter, it was late, and you're like, okay, well, who knows what this kid's got? And then next thing you know, he's a freight train and you can't stop him.
Yeah, I think Kyle Madsen called him a grizzly bear with chainsaws for arms.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's a perfect, for me, it's a perfect, like, description of what we saw from him.
Yeah,
I mean,
McCaffrey or not, though, it should be a two-score game.
Yeah, you're really, really high on the Niners in this game.
Yeah. The Vikings have good players and all that, but it's just knowing the team that the 49ers are, like, this is a team, you should take care of the Vikings.
Well, I mean, you have to take care of the Vikings. It's a big deal that you get off to a good start this season, and this is one of those games that, like, realistically on paper, you should win.
And I don't think I'm putting too much stock in their win over the Giants either. The Giants are really bad.
No, I think they're really bad. Like, I would say the same thing about the Saints. Like, I'm not putting, like, a ton of stock in Derek Carr and the Saints at this point because they played one of the worst teams in the NFL in Carolina, and you know that's going to be a team that, like, you go up against every week in your survivor pool and hope that they don't, you know, win one, sneak out one win. Let's get to our keys to the game here. Let's start with you, Jesse. What's your first key to a 49ers victory?
You get a first turnovers in the first quarter. And first quarter, just because if the Vikings are falling behind and Sam Darnold's got to throw the ball and all that, like, it's going to be a tough day for them. They won't come back that way. The Vikings are going to have to play a well-balanced game on offense. And if they're just playing from behind to start the game already, then it's going to be easy work for the 49ers.
That's interesting. Kyle, his permanent key is always now win the turnover battle, which is kind of just a running gag, but also win all three facets of the game, which is just dumb. But this, we like to mess around with it. My first key is, man, they need to find their pass rush. I'm tired of the excuses why they're not getting to the quarterback. They have one of the most expensive defensive lines in the game, and there was not, they only hit the quarterback four times last week. They only had one sacked overall, and to me, this defense needs to turn up the intensity. They need to figure out how to get to the quarterback and really take the pressure off the defensive backfield. You get to the quarterback, you pressure Sam Darnold, he's going to make mistakes, and you're going to reap the benefits of that. He's a quarterback that throughout his career has struggled with turnovers. And that, to me, is something, like, find that, whatever's missing, find it right now. And I don't want to see the Niners have to go out and trade for a Randy Gregory or a, you know, who do they trade for? The other guy they traded for last year, Chase Young, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, during the season, like, they shouldn't have to do that. They have the talent to do it. They've spent the money to have a dominant defensive line, and I would like to see them get to the quarterback.
Yeah, for my second key, Brock Purdy's got to get the football out quick. Minnesota had one of the highest blitz percentages in the league last year, so they're going to try and get after him this game or whatever. So get the ball out quick, and I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, that's a really good key, and I think that's where you know, again, if you listen to what Faraz was saying, they're doing a lot of two deep safeties, right? And he thinks that that Debo's going to have an opportunity here. I also think that, like, the Niners are going to try to get back to those quick slants that they tried last week that didn't work out for whatever reason. I think Debo wasn't able to hold on to one early. The defender was right there and knocked it away. And then the Ayuk situation where Ayuk on the quick slant, you know, he had the ball and then it got knocked out of his hands. They were, like, aggressively attacking the quick slant, the defense was last week. And I think that's something, if you're trying to get the ball out of Purdy's hands quickly, that's where you're going to see it. You're going to see those little quick actions to two very, very good wide receivers. And if those start to hit, it'll open up a lot of other things. Let's see, my second key. Give Ayuk a chance for redemption. Like, I want to see him targeted 8 to 10 times. Like, give him a shot to get comfortable, to get his rhythm, to find the connection with Purdy. And, you know, again, it's not going to be easy because you don't want your quarterback getting blitzed and hit a bunch. But for me, it's one of those things where the quicker that Brandon Ayuk looks like Brandon Ayuk from last season, the better the 49ers offense is going to look. And I think they need to hit the nitro button here with him and almost force feed him a little bit.
Yeah, you hope it doesn't take too long for him to get going. Like, you hope he's not, like, on a Nick Bosa type thing where it's like, all right, week 8, he's starting to show some things or whatever.
Yeah.
And then for my for my final key too, I'm going to go stop Aaron Jones. This game is literally about put it all in, put the football in Sam Darnold's hands. And if you do that, it'll be fine. Stop Aaron Jones, stop the run. And I think that's all it'll take.
Man, I feel like Sam Darnold like did something to you.
He didn't. He's just not very good. Like, just call it what it is. He's just not very good. That's how you're going to beat the Vikings. You let him throw the football.
Okay. Yeah, look, Aaron Jones is a very good running back. He's had injury problems throughout his career, and it's kind of like slowed him from being like one of the top guys. And there are seasons where he's just been a touchdown monster. And this is his first go with the Vikings. I think that it's a huge key, right? If you can slow him down. But the Niners were so good against the run this last week. I mean, they just took Breece Hall out of the game.
Yeah.
And if you can continue that, I don't, like, Aaron Jones doesn't nearly have the explosiveness.
No, he's like 30 years old now at this point, I think.
Well,
or around there, I think.
Yeah. And if he's, even if he's able to fight through the front line, that just means that he's being stood up for Fred Warner to come through and,
like, exactly,
like, do vicious things.
So you stop the run, like, they'll be fine. This, like, I just don't see a way the Vikings get this done.
Okay. Boy, you are very.
It's a lock,
kind.
It's a guarantee.
My last key is, if Christian McCaffrey plays, I want Shanahan to not forget about Jordan Mason, because I think what he did last week was so incredibly impressive. And I think that there needs to come a point where you start to, you know, take away some of these extra carries from McCaffrey to preserve him, not just for this season, for next season, for the season after. You know, you want to have him around as long as humanly possible. And the way you do that is to allow another back to take some of these hits. And so that would be my other huge key.
Just kind of countering that a bit. Don't you kind of want to go out? Like, if McCaffrey's healthy and ready to go, don't you want to kind of want to go all in just because of what he brings to the table? And sort of like, you are, like, I get the whole like next season type thing, but you are going for a Super Bowl this year.
Well, yeah, like, but I'm okay with like McCaffrey on first down. I'm okay with McCaffrey on third down. I think though, if it's, let's say it's second and four or second and five, like, get Mason in there, have him go, you know, do some tough running up the middle. I'm okay with that, because what I don't want to see is it just go to McCaffrey and then all of these runs by Deebo Samuel inside the between the tackles. Like, I don't get that. If you're at the 1 yard line and you need Deebo to go get a touchdown, okay. But I don't like that throughout a game where that guy's running up the middle. Like, I love him on the end around or the reverse, whatever you want to do there. But I'm just not a big fan of him, like, being a dude who literally lines up in the backfield and runs between the tackles.
Oh, yeah, I get that. You're trying to preserve the guys and all that.
Yeah, I mean, you have great players, right? And the reason why, like, my opinion is that you want to have those great players as long as possible, and you want them to be as fresh and as, like, energetic and ready to play. And we're talking about some guys who, like, over the course of their careers, Deebo has missed plenty of games. Christian McCaffrey has missed a ton of games. Like, these are guys that, you know, if you don't have to have them do these specific things, like run up the middle a bunch of times and just get clobbered by three guys, like, then why would you? And so I would like to see a little bit more variance in, not so much play call, but variance in rotations of players. Because at the end of the day, I think that, you know, the 17-game week as season is...
It's a long season.
It's crazy. But then that doesn't even really matter to the 49ers, right? You're going to get to 12, 13 wins, I don't think, without any question here. The question is, what are you like in the playoffs?
In January and February.
Yeah, and how have you preserved these players for that moment? And there are going to be games where they're just tremendous and, you know, you can't stop throwing the ball to Deebo because he's so good. And that's fine, but what I don't want to see is a whole bunch of throws over the middle where he's just getting crushed every single time. And yeah, I don't want to see a bunch of plays where he's getting his head bashed in, trying to run, you know, like behind Trent Williams or behind Pooney on the right side. Like, that, it, to me, it just doesn't make sense. He's too elite of a player to do those types of plays all the time. Like, eight carries is too many.
Yeah, I haven't given the Vikings a shot all week. But do you think there's any way they win this week?
Yeah, I do.
What do you think they need to do?
Well, I think any team with Justin Jefferson has a shot, right? I mean, he's just tremendously gifted. And if Darnold can make the throws, and, you know, like whether it's a bunch of fluff that we're hearing from the 49ers, Darnold still has a really good arm. He still was a top, you know, pick. He still is a player who, in the right situation, might be able to make the plays.
And I don't want, no, Jay, I'm not going to let you do that. He's on his fourth team.
He's on his fourth team, but he also just had like a reset year. And the teams that he was on, like the Jets were horrible. Carolina was horrible. So, like, what exactly do you expect from him in those situations? So I'm not saying that he's a stud and he's going to, you know, figure it all out. But
there's talent there.
Yeah, I think there is talent there. Just like, you know, I don't think he can become Baker Mayfield and find his career and reboot. But maybe he can. And he's going to get a shot here. It's not like they have anyone else. You know, he'll get the shot all season long. But that's, for me, again, that's why you need to put pressure on the quarterback. That's why you need to get to him. You need to make him make bad decisions, because historically he has made a lot of bad decisions as a quarterback. And so if you don't get to him, then you're going to put yourself in a situation where literally like anything can happen.
I think the Vikings, if they're to win this game, it's because of Brian Flores and that defense.
Okay.
I think you got to make the Niners uncomfortable, force some turnovers and all that, and just, it's got to be a grimy game until the fourth quarter, and that's when you get the win.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, look, this team beat the 49ers last season, and they're not the same team, clearly. I mean, they lost Kirk Cousins and Danielle Hunter, and like they lost like really, really good players. But that doesn't mean that they're not still a solid team. You know, I think the Vikings are the one team that people forget about a little bit, and then when they do big things, it's always like, well, you know, they won a bunch of close games. It's like, we don't really believe they're a 13-3 team, whatever it was a couple of years ago. I think there's always like a reason why you don't believe them, but I certainly, like, if you have that kind of talent on the outside and a good running back, but you have that kind of, you know, Addison and Jefferson, like, they have all kinds of speed.
They have talent all around. It's just, yeah. All right, is the quarterback going to make plays today?
Yeah. No, I think it's a good point. Will the quarterback make plays?
Who do you think has a better chance, the Vikings against the 49ers or the Raiders against the Ravens?
Oh, man.
That might be a tough one for our guys in the black and silver.
Yeah, I don't...
Ooh. Raider Nation Radio, by the way, we got that game on Sunday.
Yeah, I do not think that the Raiders have any shot against the Ravens.
See, I will fight you on that one a bit, because the Raiders' defense, I think, is good enough to keep them in games. It's just a matter of, is the offense going to give you 17, 20 points or whatever, I think.
I think the Raiders' defense is...
I think the defense could do some things against like Lamar on the offense, but it's just... Like, they'll get stops, but the offense is going to have to score eventually, because if not, defense is going to wear out.
Yeah, I agree that...
Not that I'm picking the Raiders or anything.
That the Raiders' defense can, you know, do something there. But the problem is that when you're playing against a quarterback like Lamar, he just finds a way to break your will. You know, he does some weird play out of nowhere.
Well, it's 3rd and 13 or whatever, and he takes off. It's like, great, we had him, and we had some momentum going, and now it's just gone.
And he does that, like, consistently throughout a game, where you get them in a bad situation, and then all of a sudden he busts out for a 23-yard gain or something, and you're sitting there like, man, we had him. You even, like, there are times where you think you got him bottled up in the backfield and you're just about to get him, and then he finds a way out, and next thing you know, he, again, it's those plays that usually break a defense like will, and he's probably the best in the league at that. I can see
the Raiders keeping it close-ish for the most part, but also, like, if the Raiders offense isn't moving the ball, then the game kind of just falls apart in the fourth quarter, and the Ravens just kind of move on from that.
Yeah, I'd also say, like, look, one of the things that people forget is that Gardner Minshew has moments where...
That's the thing, yeah. Like, guys like that, it's like, someday, there's going to be a day where he's like, oh, wow, Gardner Minshew played well today.
Yeah, he just plays way over his head, and you're like, what just happened? Like, how did he do that? And so, maybe, but... Like, again, I think the Niners are a much better team. I think they're a better team than the Ravens, and they're a much better team than the Vikings, but the Vikings still have firepower. And
yeah, the Raiders offense kind of scares me. I like Jacoby Myers, but he's more of a wide receiver 3 to me than a wide receiver 2. And their running back situation, I think, is kind of like, Alexander Mattison played well, Zamir White is fine and all that, but you can always do more there.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, and I, you know, again, Bowers, like he's
something, yeah.
I think he is too.
You got him and Devontae, so.
I think he's only going to get better. And so I kind of look at him as like their number two wide receiver. And then, you know, you've got Adams and like, he's great, but he's still, you can see the problem I always have with Adams is like, you can see how bitter he is when a ball isn't good. Like it's almost like, you know, we're both EPL fans. We're both soccer fans. He's kind of like the guy who doesn't score a goal, or he might miss, or someone misses him on the pass. And instead of getting back onside, he just sits there and pouts for a couple of
seconds. But what if they miss you on the pass all the time? And it's been like the last 3 years that they've missed you on the pass.
No, I totally get it. I totally get it. Yeah. And I mean, again, that's why he should have asked out when they decided Carr wasn't going to be the quarterback there. And that was why he went there.
Yeah, that was a tough situation, though. I mean, just the way it went down.
Yeah, I guess it's a tough situation. But at the same time, if I'm an elite wide receiver in my 30s, I don't want to waste the last couple of years of my career.
Oh, yeah, there's that point, too.
Yeah. So I'm sort of surprised he didn't ask out this summer. And, you know, again, let's see what happens. But if they get off to a really bad start, you know, both Kyle and I thought the Raiders would be okay this season. After week one, I was not at all convinced of that.
I'm going to double check. I believe Jordan Addison was just ruled out.
Oh, okay. Well, that's big. If he's ruled out.
Yeah, Schefter says that Jordan Addison ruled out due to an ankle injury on Sunday.
Yeah, that's absolutely huge. For,
even more so to win the game by 2 scores now.
Yeah, I think you're probably closer. Yeah, I mean, that one extra guy, I mean, because that just means...
You need all the help you can get.
Yeah, you can just put more pressure on Jefferson. You send additional guys at Jefferson. But, you know, he's also one of those guys, sort of like Davante Adams, that... Like, it doesn't matter how well you defend him, he just ends up being open.
No, yeah, he's on a tier of his own, I think. Unless you want to throw Tyreek in there too.
Yeah, well, Tyreek just outruns everybody.
He does a little bit more than that.
No, I appreciate Tyreek, and especially if you hit him in the flat and you let him, you know, do sort of his move up the field. But when you need something, you need to stretch the defense, you just throw the ball as far as you can, and that dude tends to run under it like every single time.
Yeah.
He was my fantasy wide receiver with Mahomes for a long time. I love watching him play. But you know, again, I think there are plays where there are these types of receivers that just are unstoppable, like over the middle, where you're just like, you got one guy to stop and he just keeps catching the ball. Cooper Kupp, how many times were we like, man, like, you know, what did he have? Like 14 catches this last
14,
week?
13 catches, or something like that.
And he had something like 21 targets. Mm-hmm. They're just going to throw it to him. There's no question. They're only throwing to one guy. Puka's out. They're not throwing at anyone else. Catch, 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 catch. You're like,
just okay. Running them routes.
I don't get it.
We got Mondo in the chat. He thinks the game's going to be close. He says things going to be a defensive game, low score. Wait, is he picking? Mondo, are you picking Minnesota? He says 17-10 Minnesota.
Wow.
That's a bold prediction right there for our guy Mondo.
That's bold.
Yeah, I don't see that. Yeah. The Niners kind of score 30 in their sleep now.
I believe
that. Like, even if it doesn't look good, the offense.
No, I totally agree with you. They can. I mean, they're a team that's going to score all season long. And it doesn't even, I mean, they're coming into this game having scored on 8 consecutive possessions.
Yeah, like even when the offense doesn't look great, it's like, oh, wow, they still scored 33 today.
Yeah, I mean, they have an opportunity here to score on 9, 10, 11 straight possessions. Like to, in a portion of the season between two games. That's absolutely crazy. So, all right, hey, we're going to step aside. We're the Insiders here on ESPN 1320. When we come back, we're going to look at the rest of the NFL. We've got all kinds of games to talk about. Jesse and I have definitely some opinions on things like the Saints and Cowboys. All kinds of games
might
to talk about.
Might have some loser leaves town matches this week.
There it is. We're the Insiders, ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We'll see you in just a minute. Welcome back into the Insiders. We are brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Make sure if you have any if you want to call in, we have the new Elk Grove Kia talk line, 916-909-1320. Phone lines are open. Jesse can man the phones.
Get in here, Mitch. I saw you were trying to call earlier.
Oh, yep. There you go. And the funny thing is that Jesse doesn't call everyone Dawn like Kyle does. So, you know, I don't know if Jesse even knows
that's
that.
Kyle's thing. I know I'm in on the bit, but that's Kyle's thing.
It is. It's funny. It was Kyron who wore
the "Hi, I'm Don" T-shirt or whatever.
"Hello, I'm Don" T-shirt.
Shout out Kyron.
Amazing. Kyle's out for the next couple of days. He'll be back next Tuesday. But Jesse's been filling in. He's been wonderful. He's been a punching bag today with his Miami Dolphins getting punked yesterday. We've got the handoff coming up in, I don't know, about 15 minutes, something like that. Maybe 12 minutes. I don't know. We'll see. And I have no idea who's coming in today. I'm going to guess it's Kenny.
Tune in for a surprise guest for the handoff. We have no clue who it might be.
We have no idea who it might be. But Jesse, we got a whole lot of other games this weekend. And I kind of want to dig into, you know, week two of the NFL schedule. I think that there's some intriguing stuff. I also think there's some easy ones here. But let's start up with the Saints and Cowboys. What are your initial impressions?
Cowboys should win that one fine. Like, the Saints played well against the Panthers last week. Alvin Kamara got going and all that. Derek Carr finally looked like a good quarterback after they traded for him. Last year, he was just not great at all. He never got going at all. But Cowboys should win that one. The Cowboys should just win that one.
I kind of want to see what Carr is. Like, again, we can talk about Darnold, right? And we know that Darnold's bad. But I think Derek Carr, by the time he was done here in Oakland/Vegas, like, he just wasn't very good anymore.
Yeah, but Derek Carr is no Sam Darnold, though. Or Sam Darnold's no Derek Carr.
No. Yeah, so I think that Carr's a much better quarterback, but at the same time, he's never been really a winning quarterback.
And he's just an average to an above-average type quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe top 20, maybe around 20, if you're looking at all the quarterbacks in the league, maybe a little bit lower than that now. But he looked phenomenal in week one.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and I think that they're a team that has, like, Olave is a very good receiver, like, but they also have, you know, guys that can, you know, blow the top off the defense. They've got, you know, Kamara out of the backfield. Like, they are, like, a very versatile team. So I'm intrigued to see if week one was just, like, a flash in the pan.
I'm going to throw another one out here right here. What do you think of Jags-Browns? Is that a loser-goes-home match this early? And I don't think it is, but what are your thoughts on that one?
There's a couple of games like this week where you're like, okay, are the Browns really that bad?
Because, and that's the thing. I think the Browns are that bad, but I don't think the Jags are. And even if they were to lose to the Browns, like, I think I'd still give them a little bit more respect, because when we did 4-4 out for the playoff teams with D'Lo and KC, like, I had the Jags in this year. I like what they got going on and all that, but, like, as far as, like, if the Browns were to lose, I'd completely write them off.
Yeah, I think that that's the problem. Whoever loses this game goes 0-2 to start the season. I think the Browns are a much more desperate team in this situation. Because
that's a good way to put it.
I kind of feel like that Trevor Lawrence just kind of sleepwalks a little bit early, gets a rhythm, and then all of a sudden he starts to build something, right? And I think the Browns are in this major situation.
If the Browns play poorly again, it's kind of like, okay, this is who you guys are then at this point. Like, there's no waiting for anyone to step up. Like, this is who the Cleveland Browns are.
Well, that, and you're wondering, is there anything you can do with your quarterback? Like, is there any way to get rid of Watson? Because if he comes out and he plays like he did last week, where he's just horrible, that's a problem.
Yeah, you're going to be paying that dude so much money, too. You're just going to be stuck. No one's going to trade for that either.
No, and you built your entire team around him, right? So I think that that's just, it's just a huge problem.
That could end up being the worst deal in the history of the NFL.
I think it already is.
I don't hate that. You know, yeah, because they're not going to win a Super Bowl or even probably come close to any type of playoff success.
I don't know, but their defense is so good.
It's good, but it's like, so is, like, they're not much different than the Raiders then at that point.
Well, I guess that's true. And I didn't like their I don't think their defense was great week one at all.
You weren't expecting, like, Dallas to do all that.
No.
Just not because of Dallas, but more so Cleveland's one of the best defenses in the league.
Yeah, and you know, when we're talking about that the Dallas game against the Saints, I kind of want to see if Dallas is that team too, right? Like, we watched them be, like, world beaters. They were really, really good. And then the Niners smashed, you know, like, beat them down, and they never recovered, it felt like. I think that happened with Philadelphia as well. But
real quick, you want to take a call from our guy Mitch?
Yeah, let's what do you got, Mitch?
Mitch, what's up?
How you guys doing? Jesse, James, I don't do fantasy. My life's a fantasy. But
that's how it is, Mitch.
Boy, you're gonna add a couple. You're gonna add two more teams to who's gonna be looking for a quarterback next year already. I think the Raiders, even with he's a Pac-12 quarterback, Gardner Minshew. Huh? But it's really sad what's going on with your Dolphins, Jesse.
Talk about it, Mitch.
Three interceptions before the concussion or after? That's not good. That's a bad joke. I'm sorry. But I think, and I'm glad he's going to get his guaranteed money. I don't feel sorry for the owners because it's a hard cap. So when something unfortunate happens, I think Tua has to take care of himself. I think the Dolphins and Raiders going to be looking at, I think it's going to be 8 quarterbacks in the first round next year.
It's a bold prediction, Mitch. 8 quarterbacks.
Oof. 8 quarterbacks in the first round next year?
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
No. Well, I certainly think that there are teams that need quarterbacks. You know, we're already seeing it. But
he's not wrong, though. Like, there's a chance Miami needs a quarterback next year.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have to draft one anyways because of the situation.
It's tough, though. I mean, again, he's 26 years old. You're just looking at the Tua situation, like, to a certain degree, you feel bad. Like, I feel bad for Tua.
Well, yeah, you can tell he's a great guy and all that. Like, it's just a sad situation that keeps happening.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's been plenty of players in the NFL who lose their careers due to injury, and I don't know if that's what's going to happen here with Tua, but I certainly think that we're getting to an impasse where you have to make some decisions as a player and as a team.
What else you got for this weekend?
Let's look at this Lions and Bucks game. I got to be honest, this could be a sneaky good game. Like, for some reason, I feel like the Bucks might be way better than we think they are.
All right, so let's talk about it. The Bucks, if they beat the Lions, could elevate themselves from, oh, they're just an NFC South team, whatever. Like, just leave them alone. If the Bucks beat the Lions, like, oh no, they might be like legitimately good.
I think so too.
And we kind of disregard the NFC South just because, like, all right, you need nine wins to win that division, 10 maybe or whatever, but it's just kind of like whatever. But if they're able to beat the Lions, all right, I'm going to pay attention.
I don't know that they're going to be like a great team. I don't know. But I do know that they've got a lot of weapons on offense and they're a lot of fun to watch when you actually tune in. You know, again, Baker Mayfield still has an incredible arm. And he does some things on the field that are just like, they catch you off guard. You're like, I did not think you could do that. And then for some reason, like we talked about with Davante Adams earlier, for some reason, Mike Evans is always wide open in the end zone.
It's a Hall of Famer. I don't know how. He's just the model of consistency. I don't know how he's a Hall of Famer, but just the dude is just, like you said, just always open, just always doing his thing.
Yeah, he's always wide open in the end zone. You're like, I like, who's defending the dude who literally has like 100 touchdowns? Like, he's a very, very good.
Hey, guys, Mike Evans has been doing this for 10 years. Maybe we'll guard him this time.
Yeah, 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns so many times. It's crazy. So I'm kind of intrigued by that game. And I also, like, I want to know who the Lions are. And we kept
Don't
saying
we know?
This. I think we said this all last year. I kept wanting to know who they were. And then they were who they were. And you're like, okay, they're really good.
Yeah.
But if they don't take a team like this seriously, it kind of puts you at like, okay.
Well, you can take the Bucks seriously and still lose, no?
I guess.
Like the Lions, like I think the Lions are solidified in who they are. They're one of the top teams in the NFC. They could be a Super Bowl contender and all that. I think that'll still be the case even if they lose.
Okay.
I think this game will say more about the Bucks if they win than it will about the Lions going either way.
I think like they're a try-hard team. Right. So you don't expect letdowns by the try hard teams, the teams that go in there. That's who their coach is. That's how their style of play. It's almost like the Memphis Grizzlies, you know, before last season. They're a team that you have to play out the entire, you know, in the NBA, the entire 48 minutes. In the NFL, I think the Lions are one of those teams that, like, they hit you hard. It's very physical.
Yeah, that's their thing. It's going to be a 60-minute game.
Yeah, and you're going to be in a battle, and if you let off the gas at all, they're going to take advantage of it. So I do think the Lions will win that game, but I also think that game could be better than what we're kind of thinking.
Mm.
So
I got my eye on that one. That's a good one.
Okay. We got Colts-Packers.
Colts, if you are who we expect you to be, you got to win this one. No other way to put it. You have to win this game if you're the Colts.
Is just Richardson way better than I thought he was going to be?
I don't know. How good did you think he was going to be?
Well, after last season, you know, the injuries and stuff, and like I saw
talent there. He's got skills you need to develop. That's all it is, I think.
Yeah, he kind of plays like a sloppy style, right? It's like
it doesn't look the best. I'll say that.
Yeah, it's not. He's not very refined, whether it's running or throwing. But it doesn't seem to matter. He seems to be like one of those dudes who just gets it done.
He's not him, but he's a Josh Allen type, I think, as far as like the build and all. He's just a massive guy.
He is like a...
It's like a linebacker playing quarterback. Yeah.
And then I want to see how Green Bay kind of recovers here. I mean, they still have weapons, but...
Like, Malik Willis, though.
Yeah, we talked about it with Faraz. Like, why they haven't already signed a quarterback and, you know...
I think they're expecting Jordan Love sooner than later. So they're probably going to... Right, we got Malik Willis for these two games or however many.
Maybe, but man.
Because you're going to have to bring in a guy off the street or whatever, some free agent. He's going to have to learn the playbook. And by the time he's up to speed and all that, all Jordan Love might be all good to go rather than Malik Willis, who's already been here. So I get it, I guess.
Yeah. I did not like when Willis came in, like a backup quarterback, your one job is to stay engaged in case there's a situation and to know the game plan and to know what's happening. He walked on the field and like I thought he was going to start tap dancing. Like, what are you doing, man? Just like, just sitting there, like drinking Red Bulls the whole time. He just looked
it's
like
a tough situation. It's jitters, James. Come on, give the guy a break. Let's see how he looks this week.
Yeah, okay.
But either way, the Colts should win that one. Yeah. If the Colts don't win, it's like, all right, I'm gonna like you still need some things to go your way. Then I guess
it's kind of interesting. The Colts kind of hide out, right? We don't like pay a lot of attention. Since
my theory to that is that we don't pay attention to the AFC South teams because they're all the expansion teams.
Oh,
they're not really like don't have history or like. Longtime fans or whatever, it's just whoever was there to
start.
Well,
the Colts are, they've been around.
They've been around, but I guess that one works.
Yeah, that's the one that isn't an expansion team. I think since Peyton Manning left, you don't really pay attention to that.
Oh, yeah, because Andrew Luck was out of there too. Anthony Richardson is the first guy they've gotten since Luck. That's actually decent.
Okay, so maybe Luck, you were there for a little bit. I mean, didn't they have Matt Ryan? They had Rivers 1 year?
We were there because we were laughing.
Let's see. We've got the Jets and the Titans. Man, first of all, the Titans are a hot mess, but they again are sort of a try hard team.
You see Will Levis throwing that pick six near the end of the game or whatever, and just dropping to his knees like, no,
so bad, man.
Yeah. It's a tough situation there.
Well, if he wouldn't have thrown that pick six,
was ugly too.
It's possible they could have beat the Bears. And the next thing you know, they're going into this game against a team that just got ran over in the Jets.
Yeah.
Hey, look at that. We got Kenny Caraway.
It's Joe Montana here.
It is Joe Montana. Seattle Patriots. I know this is one of Kenny's teams that he hates. Seattle just looks like they're good enough to beat bad teams. Am I right there?
That makes sense, I think. Yeah, they can handle the teams that are worse than them.
They kind of look like a six-win team.
They're always kind of... Seven. Seattle does?
Yeah, seven.
I'll go eight. They're always decent.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're always around 500.
Okay. I mean, at this point, I just don't buy all of
but
it.
Geno Smith, you're not going to sell me on Geno Smith or anything like that, but like they have a decent squad. Like you said, they can beat the Patriots and teams like that, but when it comes to the 49ers, you probably lose both.
Yeah, when it comes to the Niners, when it comes to the Rams, I think you're going to have a lot of trouble in the NFC West, but that's just me. Although, at home, they're really, really good at home. This, I think, is in Foxborough, right? Let's see. Chargers-Panthers. What do we got?
Chargers, no business losing this game. Bryce Young, buddy, you're just going to be the backup or something next year.
Yeah, I'm...
It might be done for him. They might end up with the first pick. You have to take a quarterback at that point if Bryce Young is the reason why you have the first pick.
I totally agree. And I want to see if that team, like, if they have anything in them or if this is like a 16-loss team. I don't know.
It's tough. I could see it, but...
We got Kenny Caraway just about to check in here for the handoff. We've got no audio.
Do you think the Chargers?
Check one, check two. We good?
We're in there.
There we go.
What's going on, fellas?
What's happening, man?
Not much, man. Another day, another dollar. You know that.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
We're just talking about this this Panthers Chargers game.
That'll put butts in the seats.
Yeah. Do you have any interest in watching even 1 minute of that game?
I'm gonna say yes, only because. I'm locked into trying to figure out like what Harbaugh is gonna do, so I'll watch his teams. I'll watch, you know, that's my guy, Jim Harbaugh, my guy, man. So him alone, and that's weird because he's the coach and not the player. But I'm interested to peek in every now and then, like just peek in, just peek in. I'm not watching that game. Like if I got Sunday ticket, I'm not watching that game. But I'll peek in for a player or two.
Maybe check the little game center on ESPN or something. What's going on there?
Yeah, that's about it. That's about it. But I am interested in the outcome.
Okay. Yeah, maybe like have it on the quad box.
That's going too far.
That's going too far.
You can't throw that on the multi-view, James. You can't do that.
No, that's going too far.
I got four choices. I'm not throwing Chargers Panthers on there.
Is that one in Carolina? I think it is too.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else do we have? I'm excited about the Chiefs Bengals game.
I think that's going to be a blowout.
Yeah, that one. I'm
think
not,
so.
I don't believe in the Bengals right now, and they're talking like, "Oh yeah, we're the team to beat in AFC. This, and that."
What?
Yeah, Jamar Chase. We're the team to beat.
Come on, Jamar. Relax. Settle down.
They said Xavier Worthy just runs fast or whatever. He doesn't do anything. They're talking a lot ahead of this game.
So that's the crazy thing. He said that this week. This wasn't even like preseason.
Yeah. This is coming off a loss and all that.
All right, man. All right.
That's a little wild.
Yeah.
But I every time you count out
the Bengals.
I don't
even know if Joe Burrow's wrist works.
That's the crazy part.
Yeah. But every time you count out the Bengals, excuse me, they come right back. Yeah. They're like, hey, there they are again. Oh, look, they're a 10-win team. They're an 11-win team.
He's probably going to be without T. Higgins, too, this week.
I they don't look good. That was maybe the worst of the decent teams. Like, the Panthers looked awful. But that might have been the worst of the potential good teams that we saw in week one was the Bengals. The Patriots aren't any good. Patriots didn't even do anything in that game. They just didn't turn the ball over and beat the Bengals.
The Bengals were favored by 7.5. It was the biggest point spread of the weekend, and they lost. Mm-hmm. And like so many survivor pools just died right there. Mm. Like just a crushing blow for the people who do survivor pools.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the game. Yeah, everyone looked at it, you're like, oh, like this week. It doesn't matter who it is. Whoever's playing Carolina, you're choosing choosing that team.
I'm choosing the Texans.
Yeah.
If I'm not in a survivor pool, but if I was, I'd choose the Texans this week.
The Bears?
I feel great about that game. Feel great.
It seemed like Caleb Williams had the jitters last week.
But look, nobody listened to me. Felt great about Thursday Night Football.
Oh. Yeah.
Sorry, Jesse.
Nah, season's over, pal.
Well,
Ryan Tannehill, are you out there? Jay Cutler.
I think it is over. I think it might have been over. And we'll talk about it on the show. It was over before that. It was over before.
Dude, I told you yesterday. You said that the Dolphins on the show yesterday. You said the Dolphins, like, they on paper, they're the better team they are. But when those lights are there and Buffalo shows up.
I'm out on everybody in Miami. I'm out on Mike McDaniels. He ain't it.
Oh.
I'm out on the whole team. I've seen enough. I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you, as Tyra Banks once said. And once again, they let us down in a major spot. I'm out. Sorry, Jesse. I'm out. I'm sorry.
I get it. I'll still be there next Sunday, but I get it. Bright and early, 10 o'clock.
Oh, that's not good. Yeah.
Part of being a fan.
Hey, look, I think that they can figure some things out. I'm not going to write them off, especially if there's a possibility that Tua will come back.
That's a whole nother conversation.
I mean, it's just tough, right?
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time on that early in the show. Just like, what do you do? Like, again, just... 26 years old, man, you got a long life ahead of you.
Right.
Like, don't ruin your life for a sport. I mean, especially since he's already going to make so much money. Mm-hmm. And he gets some sort of injury settlement. I don't know what it would be, but I don't know how
he comes back. He has to realize there's a good chance it'll happen again.
Oh, no.
It's football.
And then, totally. Yeah, like you said, with guys like himself who's had as many concussions as he's had, and the chances just elevate every time now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you know, the percentages are not necessarily in his favor. So, yeah, that's tough. I usually try not to make it a point to tell these guys what to do. You know what I mean? Like, it's their lives. It's their ability. They're playing football. So I'm not going to do that with Tua. But, yeah, if I was in his family, I'd be like, man, the next one we might not be able to walk away from like that.
Well, that's the thing. Like, for me, it's kind of like, all right, how many times is it going to be like the next one is the last one or whatever? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, if he does come back, then I'll cheer him on 1,000%. But it's like, if he doesn't come back, then it's like, cheer him on the same way.
Yeah.
I was even telling Jesse, like, I think last season where he played 17 games, you know, he didn't miss a game. It gave probably him and everyone around him some false sense of security, mm-hmm. that they had moved past this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're right back in it. And now it's like the tough decision. And it's week two, man.
Right.
Like...
That was tough to see, man. We're talking about
another 16 weeks with the bye to go, and like, how are you gonna, like, he's gonna miss time no matter what, but then on top of that, like, you gotta figure out how to make it through an entire season. That's brutal, especially now that you're already taking this big step back. So
yeah.
Tough. Right. tough man. I feel for him.
How you feel about the Niners, man?
Like Jesse's 100% convinced that they're just gonna like just
yeah, it should be multiple score game here.
Yeah,
it should not be close.
Like they just lost Addison for the game. The Vikings did. Mm-hmm. That hurts. Mm-hmm. I think like look, the Niners are the better team and a you know an elite team, but the Vikings always have that little bit of thing that for some reason they're a tough game. They put up a tough game against the Niners. And I think the Niners win, but I also wouldn't be like totally shocked if they get upset.
Did you see the stat that's going around, the number that's going around the last time they won in Minnesota?
Mm-mm.
Take a guess.
2006.
Jesse, did you see it? You want to take a guess?
Like 1970 something, I think.
Closer. It's 1992.
Oh,
yeah, I saw it was like 30 years or something like that.
It's the last time they've won in Minnesota.
What?
1992.
Oh,
it's a
no.
Long time. And off the top of my head, I know they've played, I mean, I'm sure they played a lot more than this, but I can remember five games there since then. They had the Favre game where he hit
the dude in the back of the end zone, Sidney Rice, wasn't it?
It wasn't Sidney Rice. It was
Simeon Rice. No?
Maybe. It was one
of the Rices on the Vikings, I think.
Hit him with 3 seconds to go in that game. They lost Jimmy's first game in Minnesota. Mm. They lost last year. They lost a game where T.O. yelled at Greg Knapp on the sidelines because it was T.O. versus Randy Moss. It's just been a house of horrors. So.
Not great.
Yeah.
Not great. All right. Hey, we made it. We made it through the week, Jesse.
We did it.
We survived.
We're back on Monday, though.
We'll be back. We'll be back on Monday. Thanks for tuning in to the Insiders. We're going to hand this thing off to D'Lo and KC here. They'll be back in just a minute. Thanks for tuning in. We're the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. I'm not going to give Kyle's be nice to people and drink water, but have a good weekend. Be safe.